Hey, welcome to Uncommon Estate of Mind, where we debate different ways to leverage your next investment to create time freedom, legacy impact, and generational wealth so you can live that uncommon life. But in order to do that, you must be uncommon. My name is Joey, aka Mr. J. Mays.
Hey, and I'm Adamla Daldu, also known as AD, the Fly Realtor.
Yep. Man, it's been a crazy weekend, like a crazy week in general.
It's been a crazy, yeah, the weekend started hot, let's say that. The weekend started with a bang, and it was sustained throughout the weekend and into the beginning of this week.
I mean, we understand this is definitely a show geared around like real estate and STRs. But we have to talk about what's going on in the culture right now. Like,
got to talk about it.
It's the Drake and Kendrick Lamar beef.
Godzilla and King Kong. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking two real heavyweights.
Yeah.
Currently, not heavyweights from the past, not two young guys who are on the come up.
Yeah.
But two guys who are literally at the top of the game. And two of the greatest lyricists our generation will know, yeah. Regardless of how much you like either one.
Right, right. I mean, it's the equivalent of, I would say, like Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield type of bout right now in that realm. The thing is, what's awesome about it is we get to see, since we're on this side and we like look at the economics of everything, and you know, in the SCR and finance and rentals. It dawned on us, like, let's look at the economics of, you know, how this battle has kind of affected the industry. You know,
and honestly, like, so many aspects of it, like, as far as in business, as far as your personal brand, marketing, you know what I mean? How to lay out and roll out a plan and execute a plan. We'll touch on that, but you know what I mean? Just so many levels of this, like, you can translate into business, into life in general. That's why I like stuff like this, like sports, business. Like, I like things that translate to different aspects of life and to your professional life as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to talk about, obviously,
the hip-hop aspect.
We're going to talk about the hip-hop aspect of it in a little bit, but let's really just lay the foundation, you know, because once again, we want to look at this kind of, you know, I don't know, I would say read between the lines of what's going on in
right,
the
right.
One thing that we know for sure is that hip-hop sales have been going down year over year. Right now, I think they're down 40% as of 2023. I believe Earn Your Leisure reported on that and talked about that, and that's because of the, you know, emergence of other genres such as Afrobeats, reggaeton, and people just getting,
and those are two global genres.
Global,
you know, not to touch your wisdom, but like when you think of hip-hop, specifically Black American hip-hop, yeah, that does make it to other parts of the world, but not, it's real heavy here on home soil. But when you're talking like these Afro beats and reggaeton, like, that touches the whole world. You know what I mean? More of the world speaks Spanish than does speak English.
Right.
You know what I mean? So reggaeton, that already lets you know.
Right.
You know, Afro beats is just a whole vibe on its own, where whatever culture you're from, you can roll with Afro beats. You know what I mean? So.
But I mean, but the thing is, hip hop has had a global appeal for a while.
No, most definitely.
You know, it's had a global appeal. And people from overseas have been loving hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hip hop culture has been outsourced.
Oh yeah,
hip hop, the whole world.
Hip hop culture is like freaking the number one Black export.
Oh, for real.
Like, to be honest with you,
like Black American culture has been exported. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, we're not.
It's been exported to every corner of this earth. Like, that's a fact. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, but anyway, so. Once again, hip-hop sales have been down year over year because of the emergence of these other genres. And, you know, we've all been feeling the effects of it. I know for even just in a personal standpoint, like, there's times where I'm like, okay, let me listen to, you know, what's going on with these Afro beats, you know, going on with this, you know, this reggaeton and things of that nature and these other and other genres, just exploring. Because sometimes you can get an overload of hip-hop because there's so many trash artists out there that just put stuff out. You know what I'm saying?
And honestly, too, like, if you're just a fan of music,
right,
it's like you tend to just listen to multiple things.
That's true.
Like, I'm always wary of someone who only listens to one genre. I'm like, how do you listen to music and only like one genre?
Yeah.
I get having a favorite genre, but I mean, music in general is so dope.
I just
care about one.
Agree. So there's, you know, you definitely swim around in these other genres, but more so now because things have just, you know, people are just preferring them. Like I said, hip hop has been so mainstream. I don't want to say mainstream, but so many people can get into it. The barrier to entry is so low that you come across nonsense, you know, a lot. And then you kind of have to dig deep to find really good hip hop. And sometimes you're like, I don't feel like looking for good hip hop. I'd rather just go to a different genre. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Sales have been dipping dramatically. And my first thought, I was actually talking to my sister about this, about when that first beef started. It was like, you know what? This is a marketing ploy. That was my first thought. When I was talking to my sister, like first we hit the surface level, like, oh, did you hear what Drake did? Or did you hear what Kendrick did? And I was like, you know, this is a marketing ploy. You know, these sales have been down for years now. And this would be the perfect opportunity to boost hip hop sales and get people streaming hip hop because, you know, these brand names are so huge.
Yeah. And get people back interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because everything's about storylines.
Yeah.
Everything's about the narrative. So if you can create a narrative that causes people to want to take advantage of your product more than someone else's, I mean, that's the whole goal. That's a W right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there is potentially a narrative that's being played right now. And we're just trying to dig in a little deeper to see who it is that really benefits from this beef.
Right.
You know what I mean? Is it the winner of the beef, who you think the winner of the beef is? Or is there somebody else? You know, so,
right.
So let's dig in.
Let's definitely dig in. But I know AD had an interesting take when it came to just who benefits off this entire like rundown.
Yeah, because all right. So let's just start with, first of all, who did Kendrick release his music under? Well, each of his songs were released under Interscope. Interscope is a subsidiary of Universal Group. All right. So pretty much everything was released under Universal. What? Who did Drake release his music under? Well, all of Drake's music is most, if you're a fan, you know his music is released under OVO, Young Money, Cash Money, all that stuff. But they are also a subsidiary of Universal. Mm. You know, you see what I'm saying here? So it's really like you're double dipping. Like we have somebody else on top of these two people double dipping off of both of them. You know what I mean? So it's like,
so it's pretty much the equivalent of having a bank fund a war between two countries.
That's exactly
what it is. Like,
okay, like, so I'm gonna give you this money, you could do what you want with it, I'm gonna charge you interest. Hey, and you over there, I'm gonna give you some money to fight them who I just gave money to, and everything else that's between y'all two.
Yeah,
but run me my interest. You know, that's really what's going on here. So it's kind of crazy. So that, you know, that Joey's question about or Joey's theory or idea that, you know, this whole thing could be a marketing ploy from the top, you know, it kind of holds water because when you really think about it, it's like, well, yeah, that could be. If I have an interest in two different people and them having an argument or a dispute can cause me to make more money, why wouldn't I be okay? Because I'm literally double dipping off both sides. So whatever money Kendrick and his team are getting from it, whatever money Drake and his team are getting from it, Universal's getting from both of them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really the best. Whoever wins, whoever loses, Universal's gonna win.
Universal.
They put themselves in a win-win position, having two of the top artists, you know, technically under their umbrella and going at each other.
Yeah. I can only imagine what that paycheck looks like right now. Like,
you know, so it's just a very interesting thing to think about. And, you know, it's a different take because it kind of, you know, for some, at least for myself a little, a lot of all this side stuff, it took away from like what hip hop beef is supposed to be, which is like just bar for bar. You know what I mean? Who's got more bars? So then all, like, thinking about that aspect, it kind of makes me feel like there's more powers at play than we see.
So, I mean, you could say that, but if you look at, I mean, if you look at the record "Hit 'Em Up" by Tupac, I mean, that was not a bar for bar. That was going at your throat, going at your
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like going at your throat, but bar for bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, each bar was going for someone's throat. You know what I mean? Like, I'm glad you brought up "Hit 'Em Up" because I'm going to bring that up later. But, you know, so it's just very interesting, you know, just seeing that somebody else is capitalizing off of their beef.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's what slimy about the whole situation. I didn't know that until you actually talked about that. And it's Universal.
Yeah, Universal Music Group or Universal Group. Like, I'm not as weird which one. Yeah, they're like, yeah, so... You know, Interscope, oh, everybody think Interscope, but Interscope is under Universal. You know what I mean? OVO, Cash Money, Young Money, you know, YMCMB. I don't think anybody says it anymore.
YMCMB,
but yeah, it's like they're under Universal as well. So it's like, okay, so that means the executives at Universal were well aware that this is happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everybody on top, all these people who we don't see on the face of this rap beef, of this hip-hop beef, they're all getting paid. Bro. You know what I mean? It's like, if I'm Drake or Kendrick, you know, it's, at least in the aftermath, I'm looking, if I'm Drake, I'm like, dang. So it's like, all the money I've made you guys, and you're going to let somebody else come out with, you know what I mean, music about me, but then... You know, it's just a very interesting take, you know.
It is a very, very interesting take. That's what I, you know.
You know,
bringing it into a scope of like, okay, who's making the most money out of this? Because I can guarantee you, Universal Group, they probably had like a freaking a pizza party.
Right. Exactly.
In the office.
Exactly. Like. All the executives at pizza party. No, for real, everybody gets a treat today. Yeah. For real, because yeah, that's why it's always like interesting, like to ask questions and follow the money.
Weird.
You know what I mean? Because like when you follow the money, then you get to start to see what the real reason is behind things,
right?
Because the money is always going to be the reason. So the reason will be behind the money,
exactly,
and vice versa. The money will be behind the reason,
exactly.
So anyway,
so when it comes to okay, now we got to talk a little bit about life. Let's get out of like the ether. Let's come back surface level.
Let's come back.
And this is kind of off us, and we really don't talk about this stuff, right? It was just so much part of the culture.
Yeah, we just have to.
We have to.
Like we cannot.
No,
Family Matters. This will tell you about the resilience of Kendrick. Family Matters was a track that's good enough to knock out probably 97 to 98.9% of like rappers you've ever heard of, like in a rap beef, Family Matters was enough to like knock out,
finish you,
most people. So Kendrick didn't give Family Matters any time to breathe
at all.
He jumped on it and came out with Meet the Grand.
Because to be honest with you, Family Matters was Drake's like knockout punch. It was supposed to be the knockout punch. Yeah,
you
know,
but
saying?
Kendrick was clearly sitting on his track, Meet the Grams, because he knew something was coming. He didn't know how soon or when, but when it did come, Kendrick was ready.
And that wasn't even the best track that came out.
It's not. I mean, no, it's not.
But Sunday morning, Saturday. It was Saturday. Saturday, not morning, like evening, because I was watching the Canelo fight.
Right.
It drops, right? Not Like Us drops. And when Not Like Us dropped, because everybody, this is the argument, AD and I were talking earlier like that week, we're like, bro, this is decent, and Kendrick is, he's definitely hitting him with some bars, but he doesn't have any bangers that like people could really.
That was actually the crazy part, because we did
just talk about the night before
that Kendrick needs to come out with like a song that slaps and a club banger in order to like be able to like decisively win.
Yeah.
Like that's what we said, and then he did.
The next
day, you know what I mean?
He comes out with Not Like Us.
So like that was pretty cool actually, like to see him implement that. But then I don't know, for me, Not Like Us, that's a real like classic.
It's a LA classic. It's an instant LA classic.
And when you could get a diss track to be a banger that they'll play in clubs, you really succeeded. You know what I mean? Because diss tracks aren't supposed to be, you know, played at clubs traditionally, you know.
This summer is over. I can tell you,
it's
this
just,
summer,
yeah, it's
to,
just,
that summer 2024, it's over. You're going to hear that everywhere, especially in LA. Like, you're going to hear that everywhere you go. And that's going to just be an instant LA classic forever. Like,
right.
And it's crazy though.
So like, yeah, overall, like the strategy was just impeccable.
It was.
Like, and then shout out to both artists, like for even engaging in this back and forth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shout out to Drake for, you know, going out there and giving us a good show. Like at least one thing that's cool is that the fans of hip hop got to like get some songs. You know what I mean? Like
nobody,
all the weekend,
nope. This is the best. Like I've never in my life experienced a beef. Like this is the best beef we will ever witness between two.
You know, I got a question. Actually, I agree. This is the best hip hop beef we've ever experienced.
Yeah.
But do you think any of the songs in this beef are the best diss track of all time?
Man, let me tell you, like. I'll tell you what, like Drake's song Back to Back, back in the day when he was dissing Meek Mills, it was you could definitely argue that was one of the best diss songs ever because it was an anthem that was being played at games, it was being played everywhere, and it was a diss track at Meek Mills, you know what I'm saying? You could arguably say that's one of them. You know what I'm saying?
I can see how they say that.
If anybody's going to go to anything else, just hit them up. But that wasn't being played commercially. You know what I'm saying?
It's hard for me to not say hit them up.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, no, honestly, like when you get to what a diss track really is, like it's a diss. Like you're supposed to disrespect somebody.
We will end it there, guys. There's no beef for today. That's just a breakdown of what we thought.
Just be prepared for some war. If you go into war, make sure you have a strategy.
My gosh. But yeah. All right, y'all, stay up.
Uncommon A State of Mind was hosted by my best friend, Joey, and myself, AD, two guys who started at the back of the queue in real estate, and now we want to give back by showing others the way to get in through the front door. Feeling inspired and looking to get your investment portfolio up and running so you can join the party in style? Hit us up at info@uncommonestateofmind.com, and we can start talking. If you enjoy the show, please spread the word and show some love in the ratings so we could climb those charts together. Until next time, be uncommon.